Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is September 30th, 2017, and this show is going to be a hot one. Stand by for that. Get your fire extinguishers ready, because we're going to get some fired up attitudes, I'm sure. But look, before I start my day, I get my morning cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. Make sure you go by, get your newspaper, your coffee, your Tostitos or whatever, and they've got a special going on. You get, when you buy any two M&M's chocolate candies, you get it for 50 cents off. You're going to save 50 cents, so it's a good deal. Go there, check it out, get your coffee, tell Becky and all the ladies there I said hi, tell them we sent you. Now, we've got an action-packed show today. Let me tell you what's going on. It's a little different format from today's show, since I want to discuss this kneeling while the national anthem is being played stuff. So instead of reading true stories of self-defense, I will have a special guest on today. And that's going to be former President Ronald Reagan with words of wisdom and patriotism. And I will also read my opinion piece concerning this matter. It will surely raise some eyebrows. After that, instead of our normal license to carry attorney segment sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, attorney Benton Ross Watson will go over the legalities of restricted rights while under the employment of another. As he looks at me funny. You're good to go, Ross, right? You ready?
We're rocking and rolling.
All right. I'm sure Ross will set it straight here. Then, of course, I will give all my upcoming dates of things to do involving Aaron. So get your calendars open and mark these dates down. Now, right after that is our delicious new segment with Janae Goodman called Tactical Snacking. And this week it's Seasonal Snacking, What's on the Table for Fall. She's getting a huge following and fast. And you can check her out on my Facebook page at aaronsgunshop.com. So check that out. Then at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the Duke of Decency, the communicator of common sense, the pontificator of practicality and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. Right after the voice is my product spotlight sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. And this week it's the Taurus 22 Ply with the tip-up barrel. So go to my Facebook page at aaronsgunshop.com to see the pick. Call ANC Firearms now to get yours at 254-983-4417. Today's interview segment will be a little bit different too. I'm having a roundtable discussion with retired Green Beret Mark Boyer, retired Police Chief Randy Dixon, my board operator Trey Wallace, and myself, and hopefully attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson can hang out tight too if he can. We're going to be talking about the kneeling while the anthem is being played, flag burning, and government surplus equipment going to law enforcement departments across the country. I feel it's a well-rounded topic and of people, so your phone calls are definitely welcome. So strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, get your note-taking materials ready, and let's get the show rocking. And here's what we're going to do. We are going to read an opinion piece now instead of a little bit later. And here's the title of my opinion piece. Having the right isn't always profitable. Ladies and gentlemen, I speak to all the flag-burning, anthem-kneeling, self-absorbed, inconsiderate, thoughtless people that seem to be proliferating in this great country of ours, most currently seen on the football fields of most professional sports teams. Get off your effing high horses and remember the greatest country ever to be on the face of this earth, represented by the stars and stripes, fought for and protected by millions of men and women who served honorably and in many cases died for it, so you're sorry you know what can have the opportunities that you have been blessed with. That flag is a representation of the freedoms you are blessed with. This country has developed, grown, and blossomed into the greatest home of freedom ever seen on this planet. To disgrace the flag, to disgrace our anthem, is like spitting on those who have served to protect it. We should all look at the flag and listen to the words of our anthem and say a prayer of thanks to our Lord and Creator and all those who serve to protect it. Your childlike antics towards the emblems of your blessings is repulsive and offensive to me and millions of others. Under the emblem of freedom, the flag, make known your discrepancies in a manner that is persuasive, not divisive. Persuade those who listen to you with either clear thought and reason. Your antics of rebellion is nothing more to many than just a fad, a copycat action being done with no reason, ideology, or thought. I know, I've asked people, and they have no clue as to the reason why people are kneeling. Yes, I wore a uniform, and yes, I helped to protect our rights. One of them is free speech, and with that right, I hope to say or influence those who wish to kneel down during the anthem or burn a flag not to do so. Be an example to those who watch your every move and show your protest in other forms. Yes, I know, you have the right to kneel at the anthem or burn the flag. But like I said in the beginning, having that right and using it isn't always profitable. Now, with that, I would like to bring on our special guest, former President Ronald Reagan, on patriotism and his message to America on January 11th, 1989. Trey, you set? Let's play it.
This national feeling is good, but it won't count for much, and it won't last unless it's grounded in thoughtfulness and knowledge. An informed patriotism is what we want. And are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Those of us who are over 35 or so years of age grew up in a different America. We were taught very directly what it means to be an American. And we absorbed almost in the air a love of country and an appreciation of its institutions. If you didn't get these things from your family, you got them from the neighborhood. From the father down the street who fought in Korea, or the family who lost someone at Anzio. Or you could get a sense of patriotism from school. And if all else failed, you could get a sense of patriotism from the popular culture. The movies celebrated democratic values and implicitly reinforced the idea that America was special. TV was like that too, through the mid-60s. But now we're about to enter the 90s, and some things have changed. Younger parents aren't sure that an unambivalent appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children. And as for those who create the popular culture, well-grounded patriotism is no longer the style. Our spirit is back, but we haven't re-institutionalized it. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. And freedom is special and rare. It's fragile. It needs production. So we've got to teach history based not on what's in fashion, but what's important. Why the pilgrims came here, who Jimmy Doolittle was, and what those 30 seconds over Tokyo meant. You know, 4 years ago, on the 40th anniversary of D-Day, I read a letter from a young woman writing to her late father, who had fought on Omaha Beach. Her name was Lisa Zanata Hen, and she said, "We will always remember, we will never forget what the boys of Normandy did." Well, let's help her keep her word. If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. I'm warning of an eradication of that, of the American memory that could result ultimately in an erosion of the American spirit. Let's start with some basics. More attention to American history and a greater emphasis on civic ritual. And let me offer lesson number one about America. All great change in America begins at the dinner table. So tonight in the kitchen, I hope the talking begins. And children, if your parents haven't been teaching you what it means to be an American, let them know and nail them on it. That would be a very American thing to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, ugh, that gets me a lump in my throat. That's the way it's, that's class act right there. Now, I'm going to give you another bit of information here from good old Ronnie Boy. This is a patriotic speech, and it's going to just give you an idea of some of the heroes that we've had in the course of time and all those who wear uniforms right now. So go ahead and play it, Trey.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's September 30th, 2017, and if you want to become part of the show, the number here is 254-697-6633, 254-697-6633. That last segment, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you where I'm coming from. I was just talking to Ross about this. When I look at that flag, and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, those are gems to me. Because they are trying to represent the most purest way we can be, and we strive to achieve those goals. We are very far from it in many cases. I totally understand that. But we don't spit upon those elements, those things that represent what we stand for. We've got to fix the problem. So that's where I'm coming from. I respect the rights of others to do what they want to do. I just have a problem in certain arenas. But anyway, we're here, the lawyer at Licensed to Carry Attorney segment with Attorney Benton Ross Watson. This is sponsored by Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. So, Ross, welcome to the show again. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
It's great to be on, man. Great to be here.
Now, the topic I wanted to go over with, because I heard a lot of this on the news, was basically, are these professional football players allowed to do what they're doing at the time? And I've read the manuals, and it says you can't do certain things. But here's my question. Can an employer restrict their employees from freedom of speech while on the job or not? Is the work area the place for political, personal discord when it comes to taking the knee or burning the flag? So, Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, can you break it down for us and give us an idea what's going on here?
So, I guess I misunderstood your topic a little bit. I thought we were going to be on some other things in regard to the First Amendment. But, folks, we don't practice this stuff. He gives me a topic, sort of what we're going to be going on, and then lets me come up with some stuff, and then we kind of freelance it here. I don't know if that's the smartest decision. That's what we do.
I think that's very good because it's not unscripted, and things are going to come up that we didn't even think about. So,
right.
That's good.
Just like your samurai sword spilled it one day. But anyway, so I can tell you I don't have a lot prepared on that, but I can tell you that the Title VII – right, the Civil Rights Act prevents employers from discriminating against certain protected classes, and that would include race and sex and religion, national origin, things of that nature. So that's going to entail not constitutional protections so much as it is federal regulations, and those acts give rise to the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And there's other things like the National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB, which a lot of people are familiar with. There's other unions. Okay, then there's employment contracts. There's a lot of things in the private sector that are at play when you're talking about regulations of the workplace. And so if you're talking about an at-will employee, a lot of times you've got a lot harder trouble asserting some kind of case against your employer for any kind of...
Let's clarify that. At will means I decided to agree upon their terms, basically.
It's saying I applied for a job at CEFCO and Mr. Fikes agreed that I could work at CEFCO, and then he changes his mind the next day and doesn't want me working there. That's completely acceptable for him to fire me. We have no contract. I'm at will. It's just like an at will lease rental agreement.
Same thing.
At any time, if I say I want you out of my house, I want to terminate the lease, you can get out of there. Okay. Now, if you have a contract, though, and there's contract terms and stipulations, now you don't necessarily always have to be in writing. There are ways to make certain claims, although they're weaker if they're not. Okay. And certain contractual terms can be seen from the policy manual at work. You can go look at policy manuals, and sometimes you can interpret those.
Well, Ross, that's what I was saying. For example, if I'm employed by somebody and I got the policy manual and it says that I can't be rude or whatever, they're basically telling me I've got to watch what I say, which is my First Amendment right, but they restricted it. Otherwise, I can get fired. So I'm complying. I'm waiving that right. Is that a good... Is that clear what I just said, or is it muddled?
Not really, but I'll clear it up.
Okay,
all right, so... I just want to be clear, and I got irked when Duck Dynasty, when they came out with a bunch of things they were saying, and people were like, you can't say that's against the First Amendment. The Constitution does not apply to private people. Like, so I don't, it protects private people. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it doesn't apply to anybody but government authorities. Okay. And so I shouldn't say never. Okay. But generally speaking, 99% of the time, you're not going to have a First Amendment case when you're talking about a private employer. And a private employer, I think, here would qualify. The NFL qualifies as a private employer, okay? And a team qualifies as a private employer. So they're not going to be bound by the First Amendment. But like I said, Title VII, right? Let's say that, the First Amendment protects free speech and religion. Right? You may not directly... Right, be able to prohibit, be limited. An employer may not be constitutionally prohibited from, say, preventing employees from wearing some kind of shirt clothing. Okay, under the First Amendment, they're not going to be regulated. Okay, but under Title VII, right, if that has the effect to see as an intentional regulation that discriminates against maybe Muslims for maybe some kind of turban or headgear. Okay, then Title VII's in a play, and so it may not be under the constitutional protections, but it might come into play that you're violating, as an employer, you're violating Title VII. Okay, and so there are a lot of those First Amendment rights that are interwoven sort of into the Title VII policies and other state laws that would prohibit employers from discriminating against their employees. But when you ask about, I don't know if you've mentioned or I did, I know that that was part of your topic, maybe the NFL kneeling. I don't think that, right, the NFL is going to get involved, and obviously I haven't read their union contracts. But
well, I got something here that says, and they've got two books, two manuals or something on how you're supposed to act. One of them says when the
he's done his research, folks.
When the national anthem is played, the players will stand up on the sideline and acknowledge the anthem. So it says it right there.
But if anybody is fired... Yes, I agree with what Trump said, that it may not be profitable, because as I've said many times on this show, the First Amendment is grounded upon the foundation of a free marketplace of ideas. Okay, and so eventually, it's a capitalistic view, and Americans should be more happy with that legal interpretation than anything because of who we are. And that means that if a certain communication or expression has no value, then people will not buy into it. And eventually, they'll stop trying to sell it. Okay? And so, if a communication is disfavored among everybody, eventually that communication will die out because nobody will want to buy into it.
Because of the bottom line green dollar, I'm talking about American spirit here. I'm not talking about the profit. Oh, because we're deciding.
Well, I'm not either. That's what I'm talking about. An idea is valuable not for its worth necessarily, although sometimes like music and lyric things like that are. But we're talking about ideas, and ideas not valuable. When I say value, what I mean is the country's attachment to it spiritually, ideologically, conceptually, in beliefs, in origin, in everything culturally, socially. What is the value of that communication? I don't mean in terms of dollars and cents. And so when I talk about the value, I'm speaking in what you're speaking of, the spiritual concept that's being put out there. That is the value of that communication, and people will stop advocating from that position eventually if it's got no value. But I think Trump escalated the NFL. I think a lot of that was not so much against the flag so much as it was kind of the middle finger at Trump to say, you want to come after one of our people, right? You're going to come after all of us. And I can see from that standpoint, you may not agree with what your brother does. I know my family doesn't agree with a lot of things I do, okay? And a lot of times I don't agree with my cousin, okay? But we stand by family, okay? And sometimes you stand by your friend. You may preach to them, right, silently in private, tell them this is not what's happening. And at some point, you know, you've got to cut ties. But for the most part, we try to stay loyal to those who have been loyal to us. And so I think when Trump goes after one individual, right, he's poking the wasp nest and getting them to react in a way that they want to protect the family. Okay, but I completely see the other side of the picture. And think about when you talk about the value, think about the Army Ranger. Was it for the Steelers?
I'm not sure which one that was.
I think it was for the Steelers, but yeah. I could be wrong about the team. I had so many goosebumps. When he comes out by himself, standing there like that.
And then he chickened out and backed off.
No, dude, but he's there. Oh, how strong was that? Because, and now, I think it's, look, I told you before, and I'm sorry to say this, I'm really kind of agnostic. I got more important things to worry about, right, than whether some NFL players are kneeling or not. I respect the flag and everything about it. And to that, Nate, I mean, but in terms of importance of the symbol, I think now it has more value than what it did, the national anthem and the flag, because before all this happened, you would see the videos of these guys standing in line, right, and they'd be picking their nose or talking. They wouldn't even be focused on the game won or the flag or the anthem. At least now it may not be a favorable message, but it's got everybody's attention focused on that.
It's always had everybody's attention. That's why everybody threw a fit. These guys in there are spoiled, rotten kids who are making millions of dollars.
I don't disagree with that.
And they have no clue, the majority of them, as to what it takes to keep that flag on top of the pole. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of blood to keep that thing up there. And people are losing and forgetting what it took to get there. And all I'm saying is just respect the element. Here you are in a national event. People from all over the country are watching this thing. And you're going to bring your political issues into this field. This is a place of unity where everybody's having a good time, and you got to bring your stuff. I got no issues with him kneeling, Kaepernick or however you say his name, kneeling for. And I ask people, why is he kneeling? Because whatever. They can't even give me the reason. Their lack of information. They're listening to bullet points. They're not studying. They're not getting their information to understand why they're making the decisions that they make, and that just drives me crazy. Because what's happening is, those people on national TV are letting tons and tons of kids watching it getting influenced by people who have no clue as to what they're doing. And I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling.
Oh, I understand. So I mean, I listening to Reagan gives me goosebumps as well. Okay, the things that he was saying is completely true. I think everything starts at the dinner table, and a lot of the breakdowns that we've had in society these days is because we don't have that family connection at the dinner table anymore. And a lot of times we don't have an intact nucleus with a mom and a father that are there as much as we used to. And so there are underlying problems that are greater, that have greater effects to this discussion than what we even have time to even touch the tip of the iceberg on. But I think there were some things that what Reagan said that also go to the other side of the table. Okay. And that is the free will of man, terrorism and violence upon their neighbor, freedom and dignity. I think some of these things, right, are missing from society today. How much free will is there? Like we talked about, there are so many rules and laws on the books, okay? And a lot of times, it's a systemic bias. I told you time and time again, I believe that police officers are good people, and most of them are great folks. Okay, but there is a systemic bias right against minorities. And we have a Bill of Rights, okay, to protect minorities, not majorities. And so, yes, the majority of people are probably going to be upset that they're taking a knee. And that's the reason that we have the Bill of Rights, is to protect those minorities to be able to ensure that they have these expressions.
And I totally agree.
Right?
And I got no issue with them promoting that. I just have the issue of its method of application and when and where. Go on the street. You're a professional. You're making all this money. You got a spotlight. Get the cameras on you on the street or wherever and get your own forum. But stay out of that particular venue when it's just like this. It's like you go to a public school. They take God out of public schools. Now, me personally, I would prefer it back in because I think it's a good teaching. However, I totally dig and understand if you got Muslims or Jews or whatever in a public school and I'm cramming Christianity down your throat, I'd be a little bit pissed off too. So taking it out of there, I understand that concept because it's an entrapped environment. You're being influenced by certain few, and I don't think that's really good because there's a lot of things happening now, like sex education and all this kind of stuff that I'm not digging too much, but you're... enclosed environment, have no control over it when your kids are getting brainwashed to think in the way they want to make you think. It's the same way with the NFL. It's a public venue and it's affecting younger people. Do it on an outside venue.
But how, that's the way that their argument's going to be, obviously, that how are they going to get their message out as effectively? And your argument is that they don't know what they're trying to advocate for.
No, I didn't say that exactly. I said
they're not educated. That is what you said. I said it more in simpler terms.
I would think Kaepernick, the one who started this, knows what he's doing, and he said it clearly what he's doing, and I got no issue with it. I back him up. Police brutality exists. You don't want it to happen. So go ahead, promote it. But promote it outside the venue of NFL. That's my opinion.
Well, and you're entitled to your opinion.
I know.
And I'm going to protect your right to advocate your opinion, just like I want them to be able to do theirs. And from a private employer standpoint, I think the NFL can do whatever it wants, but as long as it's going to be able to comply with, you know, Roger Goodell, a lot of people don't like him. I think he's done a pretty good job. He's in a really political position, okay? You know he's got to make so many people happy, and he's got to follow so many rules, and there's so much money involved. And we don't even know the background information and what goes on behind closed doors as far as, you know, just contracts and trying to work with public officials and things like that that are probably just outrageous to try to deal with, and nationwide too. And so you know that if he does something, one, it's going to give political heat to a minority group, okay, on him there's going to be heat. But then he's going to have to contend with, if I say these people can't do this kneeling, is that going to be discrimination against a minority since it is a minority view that is being portrayed? And it is. I don't think there's any question that they're saying it's brutality against the minority.
But that's
class.
Why I was asking, does an employer have a right to do that?
If there's a way to get around making it discriminatory. And I think that knowing how many people in the NFL have money enough to litigate, if he does something, it's probably going to cost more money, okay, to try to get it done than to just let it go.
Here's another point I want to make. If Kaepernick has the right to bend this knee because that emblem on top of the flagpole that's been fought for so hard and for so many years allows him the right to do that, it's just contradictory to me that you would disrespect the emblem that allows you to do the thing you want to do, so that little bit of respect that you might have, do it in a different venue. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think from his standpoint he thinks that he's being disrespectful, but I want to say what Goodell said when they asked him, was he upset by the president's words? I think this was a genius response.
Okay, go
ahead. Okay, he says, no, I'm not upset. We live in an imperfect society. A public discourse makes us strong. What else could he say?
But I think he's right.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. We hash out this idea. We get the good ideas out there and the bad ones off. If their idea and method and manner of promoting their policy and agenda, right, is stupid and it's disrespectful and it's something that society says you don't have a right to do, right, from a societal standpoint, okay, then eventually people will stop buying into that method of the way they're communicating it and they'll stop doing it. But so far, right, it's only, right, increased in the way that they're doing it, and the support has only, I know there's a whole lot of non-supporters, but the way they're doing it has been increasing, and so it seems that there are supporters buying into the idea.
And so I think that's internal, but they're going to have a backlash economically.
Maybe it's
sad that you have to change the way you do things because of economics. And I think if I review myself and everything I say, the bottom line is this: it's the disappointment. I have disappointment in those who are doing what they're doing because they don't have the upbringing or the teachings or the love of liberty and the understanding of what it takes to be free, man. It's just, it takes a lot to be free. And there's only some of us in this country that do it and put on the uniform while we do our thing and enjoy the benefits of our security through those people. And it's just respect out of them, because literally you are spitting on those people. And I just think that's a disgrace. However, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, and I'm going to say freedom of speech. I wore the uniform to protect it. I see somebody burning the flag, I'm not going to do anything other than say, hey, maybe my influence can change your thought process. If you're going to kneel, maybe my influence can change your thought process. My freedom of speech is hopefully enough information with a spirit to maybe convince you to change it or study it and learn why you'd want to respect that particular emblem of peace.
Right. They find people too for advocating opinions on, like when on the cancer day that they were supposed to only, everything was supposed to be focused on that. Somebody focused on a different opinion, and that was, you know, they were able to fine him substantially. So, could there be fines for, you know, time, place, and manner type of conduct? Maybe. But again, I think if they do it just to focus on this particular movement, there may be problems seen as discriminatory. And even if it's not, there'll be at least enough for an argument to launch an investigation, a litigation.
Okay, look.
Case.
Here we are in a football arena. And Coca-Cola buys a one-minute ad. Why do they buy that one-minute ad? They try to influence you to buy their product. Mr. Kaepernick, spend $1 million for a minute on National Football League and promote your agenda. Outside of that, I respectfully say,
that's a really good point. But I don't think his standpoint is that. I think his standpoint is going to cost more, right? Eventually. And this may play out, like you said, it may literally come to dollars and cents because the idea becomes so repugnant that people stop literally buying into the games.
Well, they're burning
and so
jerseys,
so it guys. May come it may come to that, and if that's true, then the employer is going to have a reason other than it being discriminatory.
That's an intense case. I mean, I totally dig the freedom of speech. I totally dig what they're doing. I really respect that you stand up to the conflict of people not liking your opinion, but you got the freedom to say it anyway. My beef is it really has nothing to do with NFL, it has to just do with the flag and its emblem of what it represents and those who serve to protect it. So that's where I'm, ladies and gentlemen, that's where I'm coming from. Your freedom of speech, go for it, man. I fought to defend it for you, and so did so many others. Go for it. Just come on.
I will leave you with, I was going to talk about Justice Jackson and some of this.
Well, take it.
I'm glad,
you got about 4 minutes.
But I was going to say, as far as the symbol idea, he said that symbols are primitive but effective way of communicating ideas. A person gets from a symbol the meaning he puts into it, and what is one man's comfort and inspiration is another's jest and scorn. And he was talking about the flag. In those days in the 1930s, Nazis saluted the flag in the same way that the Americans' kids saluted the flag, the only difference being the Americans held their palm up and the Nazis held their palm down. We arrested and jailed parents of kids because they refused to salute the flag. They refused to recognize the symbol, right? And the Supreme Court said no public official, high or petty whatsoever, can compel anyone to have their own thought or ideas. And there were several policy decisions put forward, like it's a symbol of fostering national unity. And that's what Justice Jackson was saying. We get what we put into it. You're going to believe what you're going to believe, right? We can't. It's based on more than what the government can force you to do, and you can divert your eyes if you don't like the situation. Okay, and he also said that, and in those concurring opinions said, love of country must spring from willing hearts and free minds, inspired by a fair administration of wise laws enacted by the people's elected representative within the bounds of express constitutional prohibitions. These laws must, to be consistent with the First Amendment, permit the widest toleration of conflicting viewpoints consistent with a society of free men. And so we should let people get this off their chest. And yes, you can have your own opinion, but a lot of times when we lash out at other people, it only makes them lash out more. We lash out again, and all of a sudden we have a big situation. This happens on everyday private economic affairs. When I call another lawyer, I don't say, man, what the hell? Why would you do that? It doesn't get me anywhere. When we're trying to work a settlement, we don't go out and say, dude, your idea is ridiculous. You say, man, hey, we appreciate and we understand where you're coming from, man, but, you know, we got to try to get to some kind of compromise here.
You said the same thing, only in a very professional manner.
Yeah, and so I see, but we don't know what's come before other than police shootings and how Kaepernick feels, and then we have Trump lashing out at them, and then we have this protectionism, right, to feel we have to protect our own sort of attitude towards that, and that's what I'm talking about.
My opinion piece stated it clearly, and that is, even though you have the right, using it at times may not always be profitable. That's all I'm saying.
I love that. I'm going to have to save that.
You got the right. Just use some common sense as to when to apply it.
Prosecution, I love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get hotter in the 11 o'clock hour, so we'll be back in a little bit, and we'll be doing our points of interest.
Just because you have a right don't mean you can be stupid. Remember, squirrel?
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's September 30th, 2017. And let's tell you what's going on, what's coming up here in the near future. Today at 2 o'clock, I have a license to carry class. Still slots available if you want to participate. It's $60 for the class. And that gets you your certificate that shows the state that you took the class. And then with the new laws in effect for a general application, it's $40. So if you go through me and the state, it'll be a total of about $100 to $110 once you get your fingerprints done. October 13th is our next round robin. Those are always fun. More and more people are showing up to those, and we've got some great prizes coming up. We've got there's potentially the Glock 17 long slide and 9mm. That's a hot gun right there, and a lot of people are trying to get their hands on one. Those are hard to get for some reason. Anyway, that's available. And the way the round robin works, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the homepage up at the top, there's a link. It'll give you all the rules on how it works. Or you can go to my YouTube channel, Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel, and look at some of the videos of the round robin. You get an idea of how it works. But in general, everybody brings their own gun. And let's say there's five to a string. Each person puts their gun on the table. And the first person goes and shoots their gun and then puts it down and moves to the next gun, which is not theirs. And they do that five times. So they're getting familiarized with different types of handguns and how they function, so that when it comes time for, God forbid, something to happen and you got to pick up somebody else's gun, you have a very good idea or concept idea of how to do it. And it's based on time constraints, accuracy constraints, unfamiliarity restraints of not knowing which gun's coming up next. So it's a great way to do some training. And when you come to the range, normally it's only $10 to shoot at the range for all night. On the second Friday of every month, when we have the round robin competition, if you want to participate, it's $20, but it still allows you to shoot all night. It allows you to compete. You get some good training. And if you win, hey, get a good gun. And we're getting a lot more ladies entering the program as well. Got a couple of them that are right there at the edge looking to possibly win. So it's a very exciting moment. I can't wait for one of them to win. October 20th, speaking about the ladies. Ladies is the third Friday of the month. That's ladies' night. Ladies get to shoot. Ladies' night, yeah. Get to shoot for free. So guys, bring your ladies. Ladies, bring your ladies. And just have a good time, okay? Now, seminars. We got seminars available. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page, you'll see all the flyers there of the different types of seminars that we do. And if you have a group of five or more, we'll set up a date and a curriculum for you. And it's a lot of fun when you have people that you know, friends, all in the same group. And we've got ladies only, too. Ladies, when you do it on your own there in a group of ladies, you don't have to worry about the guys being around. I mean, history shows you have a blast, okay? Check out the testimonial page at aaronsgunshop.com and look at the ladies who've come from all over Texas to take the class. And you'll see that they enjoy it, puts them at ease, and they feel really good when they leave, understanding and knowing how to use their firearm. Parties. If you got any parties like a wedding or a birthday or a corporate event and you want a different type of venue, we can talk together about that. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or give us a call at the shop. Go to the website, whatever. But we can talk about what you've got going on and see if we can make arrangements. And then October 7th, Grace Church here in Cameron is going to have a Grace Fest. And I'm going to have retired Green Beret Mark Boer coming in a little while. And he'll probably touch on that real quick, give you a couple of comments on that. But there's a lot of things going on in the area and with Aaron's. So be sure to go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Go to the Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel. Become a subscriber. Show your support, support the sponsors that support the show, because without the sponsors, the show does not go on. So a lot of good stuff. And don't forget to check out the Facebook page and look at the pistol at ANC Firearm. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to ease that tray. We all set for Janae?
We're all set for Janae.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be doing this week's segment of Tactical Snacking with Janae Goodman. And she's got her stuff going on. And this segment's going to be Seasonal Sensations, What's on the Table for Fall. Trey, take it away, buddy.
Greetings, my lovelies. This is Janae Goodman. I've got tactical snacking for you today, and we are searching the fall table for our seasonal sensations. Of course, grocery stores are packed to the brim with foods, so this is information that we really don't even think twice about. When we have canned items and frozen items, what's the point, right? So first, I want to talk about what a seasonal item is. The seasonality of a food is a time of year when the harvest or the flavor of an item is at its peak. This is usually when the item is the cheapest, the tastiest, and the freshest. These seasonal items are cheaper because of the fact that they are in high abundance. These items tend to also be tastier because of their freshness. You may not know this, but our items in the grocery store typically aren't as fresh as they say they are. In fact, they may not even be as ripe as they say they are. Many times, we actually pump our items full of ethylene gas so that they're ready and pretend to be ripened by the time they get to our grocery store. I'm sure you've done the same thing where you go for your favorite item and it looks fantastic, but you get home and take a bite out of it and you're pretty disappointed, usually because it's lacking in flavor. Of course, the freshness is also great because we don't have to worry about pumping it with ethylene gas, especially since we grew it right here in our state. More often than not, seasonal products are sourced locally. That also leads to why it would be cheaper, because we save in food miles. Food miles are the amount of miles that it took for an item to get from where it came from to your plate. My rule of thumb, if my great-great-grandmother couldn't eat it, I probably shouldn't be eating it right now either. All right, Janae, can we get to the good stuff now? Well, since you asked so nicely, let's look at what's on our table for fall. I know we all know the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, if you've been thinking about straying from your typical apple, now is the best time, considering we have about 2,500 different varieties of apples in the United States alone. So, why not give one a try? They're a little cheaper now. We can't forget our starchy vegetables, of course. Regular and sweet potatoes are in season. We also have acorn squash, butternut squash, and pumpkin. How about canned pumpkins? Sure, they're convenient, but how cool is it to make your own pumpkin puree? Next time you find yourself with a small pumpkin, go ahead and cut it up. Clean it of all of the seeds. Please save those for later so that you can make roasted pumpkin seeds with them. And put them in a 350 degree oven for 45 minutes to an hour. Let that cool off and peel off the skins. You can then put the meat of your pumpkin, or your puree, into a food processor or blender. If you don't have either one of those things, a potato masher or just some helpful hands works just fine. You can also add a little water to this if you find that your puree is too thick. Stir fry anyone? Try some dark leafy greens or some things from the brassica family. That would be broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and kale. We also have peas, mushrooms, and Swiss chard on that list. With Swiss chard, you can use the stalks and the leaves. Just make sure to throw in the stalks first because they cook a little longer. How about your own homemade cranberry sauce? Get rid of that can of jellied stuff. All you need is 12 ounces of fresh cranberries, a cup of water or juice, apple or cranberry are preferred, 1 cup of sugar, and, last but not least, 1 tablespoon of orange juice. Also, you can use the zest of 1 medium orange. Go ahead and rinse your cranberries, add all of your ingredients into a pot, and bring to a low boil. Reduce it to a simmer and go until the cranberries burst. This will take about 10 minutes. If you prefer a chunkier texture, you're fine to stop here. If you're not a fan, feel free to go ahead and blend this or process it in a food processor or with an immersion blender. You can also add in pectin or unflavored gelatin if you'd like a jellied texture. This goes great with pork, duck, quail, and of course, turkey. Well, it seems that's about all the time we have today. So, as always, thanks for listening. Shoot me an email, tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Stay hungry, my friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Janae Goodman. She's awesome. She really is. She's doing a fantastic job. We've got a couple minutes before the top of the hour, and I've got in here, I got Chief Dixon, retired Chief Police Chief Randy Dixon. I got Trey Wallace, my board operator. I got Mark Green Beret, retired Green Beret Mark Board to my left, and a schmuck right here in the middle behind the microphone. So we're going to, the number here, if you want to be part of this show, is 254-697-6633. Yes, I'm stalling. I'm killing time here because I want to get to the top of the hour, and then I want the chief to do his great piece there. Chief, what's it on this time?
We're going to talk about what to do after you've had a car crash.
What to do after a car crash. Doing so good. Get your note-taking material ready. That'll be an important thing to do.
Admit nothing.
Deny everything. And give counter-accusations, right?
Hide the empties.
Let's see. Don't forget to go to the aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Come on, we want to get to 600. If you're listening out there, pull up your phones, go to aaronsgunshop.com, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gunshop. A lot of great stuff. A lot of interviews, a lot of product demos.
And tell all your friends, because this man is giving out the good stuff, all right?
The good stuff.
Education. Tell your friends.
So we got a lot going on. And like I said, in the about 11:20, we're going to have a round table talk here with the gentleman that I just discussed with you. And we're going to be talking about the kneeling thing, the burning the flag. What was the other thing? I lost track of what I'm doing.
Surplus
military equipment. That's a big one, too. So here's Aerosmith taking us out. And when we come back, we will have the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning here on the 30th day of September. It's been a wonderful day out, nice, cool, crisp fall day. I've got a couple of things to talk about today. You know, last week we talked about what to do after a burglary, but today we're going to go a little bit further, and we're going to talk about what do you do after a car crash. Now, we don't call them accidents anymore. Even though they are accidents, we don't do that. The state says that there's no such thing as an accident, but they call them crashes. Well, that's a different story all in itself, but most people understand that when you have something, it's not on purpose, it's an accident. So I still refer to them as accidents. I do want to weigh in a little bit about the NFL and about the flag and about the kneeling. I try not to get too politically involved because, you know, as a former chief of police and one who's in law enforcement, we're supposed to be neutral. You know, when you've got a town that has a qualified police chief, you want to have somebody that's going to hear both sides, both stories, and be able to do the things that they need to do so that all factions are representative. But I will say this. You know, do I like what the NFL players are doing? No, I don't. But I do respect the fact that they have the right to do that, if that makes sense. But I will say this. I want to know how many of those that are kneeling on one knee have ever had a triangle flag handed to their family, or they ever had a coffin draped with the United States flag and had to sit there and listen to the preacher and all the family talk about it. You know, that kind of wakes you up a little bit when you realize there are people out there that wish they could be on their knees, but they're flat on their back because they gave their life for either their country or for their city.
Amen, brother!
You know, and or their county or their state. And like I said, I respect the fact that they want to do that as far as their right to do it. Do I like it? No. But I also don't like if my doctor has to give me a procto either. But I understand the right to get that done. So if you look at that, you know, you have to think about things of that nature, and you have to think about what people do. So please understand that, you know, the protesting and all the things that are taking place as far as tomorrow, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, and we'll move on. You know, I've seen all over the Internet, all over Facebook, where they don't want people to attend football games tomorrow. They want people to turn off the television sets tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, people are not going to do that. They're going to watch football. They're going to go to the football games. When you've paid $200 for a ticket to sit your happy hiney in a 24-inch wide seat and watch a football game, you're going to occupy that seat. They're burning jerseys, but people are still going to go to the games, and they're still going to watch them on TV. They may say they're not going to, and that's disappointing. I mean, truly it is. It's disappointing that people say one thing and do the other. Of course, there's a lot of places, a lot of cities, a lot of towns, a lot of individuals that do that. So with all that being said, what do you do when a car wreck happens? Well, you know, let's say you're driving down the happy highway and you hit another vehicle, or you hit a pedestrian, God forbid. When that accident occurs, that crash occurs, what are you going to do? First of all, if you know your emotions are going to be high, especially when you get somebody that jumps out of the car and starts giving you the fifth degree, tenth degree, starts calling you every name under the book, there are some important things that you need to take care of, both at the scene of the crash and after the crash, if you are involved in a crash. What I'd like you to do, if you have pen and paper, or if you'd like to get a copy of this, just send me an email, randydixon76502@gmail.com, and I'll send you this list. Most people, if you'll look on the back of your insurance cards that you know you're all supposed to have, since we know everybody has insurance, right? Well, if you'll look on the back of your insurance cards, many of them tell you what to do. One of the things they'll tell you is never admit fault. Well, when you run a red light, run a stop sign, you're not going to have to admit it. It's pretty much obvious what happened. But what you need to do, keep this information in your glove box, keep it handy, write it down, and, you know, just take some hints on what you need to do when you do have a crash. You know, a crash is something that we're not planning on doing. It's something that's not planned. You know, the cardinal rule for all crashes is that you should never leave the scene until it's appropriate to do so. Matter of fact, there was a little boy, little boys over in Killeen that were hit in the last week where the perpetrator, and I call it perpetrator because when you leave the scene of a crash, you are a criminal. If you sit there and wait for the police, it's an accident, it's a crash. But if you leave the scene of an accident, it becomes something criminal. Two small children, they still haven't found one of them, they found one. Stay at the scene of the crash. You know, if you leave the scene, particularly when someone has sustained injuries or is killed, you can face some serious criminal penalties, and you're going to end up having to call Ross to help you. And that's the good thing, because we have people that will represent them, because they do have rights. But stay at the scene of the crash, please. Now, I will tell you this. If you hit another car, though, and you're in a deserted area, and you're afraid to stop there because of whatever, go to the first available place, 7-Eleven, Stop and Rob, whatever it may be. Walk in. Tell them to call the law enforcement. Tell them you've just been involved in a crash, where the crash happened at, and let them know that you did not run. You were just scared for your safety or scared over the location of it. So they'll know that you didn't leave the scene of the accident first. And a couple of things also. You know, when you first have the crash, check on all your drivers and passengers. Make sure everybody's okay. That's the most important thing, folks. You can fix a car. You can't fix people. You can fix a car. And then, like I said, I don't know anybody who intentionally goes out there and tries to have a crash. It just doesn't happen. You know, before assessing property damage, anything, check to make sure that everyone else involved in the crash is okay. You know, get medical attention for anyone who may need it. You know, if the person is unconscious or complains of neck or back pain, it's best to not move them at all. Just let them sit there. Let them stay there. Let EMS come. Now, I will tell you this. If you come upon a crash and you see where someone needs some serious medical intervention and there's nobody close by, Texas does have the Good Samaritan law that was broadened this year, and you're not going to be held liable for anything you do in trying to save somebody's life. Just use common sense. If there's no danger to the vehicle, no danger from fire, leaking gasoline, etc., and someone's complaining about their back or their neck, let them sit there until EMS arrives. Once EMS comes, They'll assess them, and then they'll take care of them. Once again, if it's a fire hazard or something like that, you got to do what you have to do to try to save someone's life. Call the police, especially if the crash involves significant property damage. If you live in the Houston metro, Dallas metro area, Austin metro area, they may have what they call the blue form report, where you only call the police, and if nobody's injured or car doesn't have to be towed, you can pull it away. But, you know, every time that that changes. The most important thing I can tell you right now, the most important thing I can tell you is that one of the things that we really need to do on a car crash is make sure you get everybody's information. I work part-time for a law firm out of Bryan who does personal injury claim suits. And one of the things I will tell you right now is half the people I go see, they don't know who the other party was involved in the accident. Get all the information you can. Get their car information, the color, make, model. Try to find a phone number, find the insurance. Because the law enforcement, some do, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of lazy cops out there that won't provide you with the other driver's information.
Amen, brother.
That's right. But some of them, there are some very thorough officers out there. So make sure that you balance that. If you can't get the information, make sure you've got it. Make sure you find that information out. Make sure also that you understand that it's your responsibility. Call your own law firm if you need to. Call your insurance company above all, right after you call and report the crash. But make sure, number one, that you take care of the people that's involved in the crash. Watch your car. Get the information from the other drivers. And don't admit fault, because you don't know exactly what's happening on that crash. Let the law enforcement figure it out. And then if you don't agree with them, you always got people like Ross here that can help you out with it.
I was going to say, call me or Rick Dodge.
That's right. Call one of them, too.
Insurance company may want a statement from you. You don't have to give a statement.
That's right.
You think you really heard something bad happened, you may not want to give a statement until you talk to a lawyer.
And do that one famous thing, call my lawyer. You've seen that commercial on TV? That's the one I work for, by the way. So take care, everybody, and until next week. We'll have a different topic we're going to talk about, and I look forward to talking to you all here in just a few minutes about some other things.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio program. Before we get into the product spotlight, I wanted to give Mark an opportunity to talk about October 7th at Grace Church. They got the Grace Fest going on. Mark, can you tell everybody what's going on?
Hey, my friend. Thank you very much for the time. Yes, October the 7th, between 10 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we've got over 50 vendors coming from all over Texas to participate in this festival at Grace Church. It's located in central Cameron. We've got the fire trucks going to be out there. Military recruiters are going to be out there. We've got kiddie rides, petting zoo. We've got a bounce house for all the kids. We've got all kinds of vendors coming out there with all kinds of good love. So when you come through there, we'd love to have you. It's going to be a festival for the entire family. So get out of your house October the 7th. Come into Cameron. Go to Grace Church and have a good time with the family. And eat a lot of food.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for that, Mark. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go our product spotlight real quick here. And once again, it's from ANC Firearms. It's one of our long-term sponsors. Arch Kuntz, good friend of mine, the owner of ANC Firearms. The man is just so dedicated to helping me out. It's incredible. He's a great guy. And you can give him a call at 254-983-4417. They've got pistols, rifles, shotgun, ammunition, knives, accessories, black powder supply, the whole works. So give him a call, 254-983-4417. Go to my aaronsgunshop.com website. Check out the Facebook page and look at the pistol we're going to be talking about today. And that's the Taurus 22 ply for, I guess, polymer bottom. I got this off of gunsandammo.com. And let me read to you what it is here. And like I've always said, I always like everybody else's opinion because I want to see if it jives with mine or there's a difference. So we're going to read it to you here now. And this is from Greg Rodriguez. Pocket pistols are all the rage these days, and Taurus has no shortage of such offerings in its expansive line. The company's ally-framed PT-22 has long been one of its most popular palm-sized gun, but the folks at Taurus thought it was time to give the classic pocket pistol a facelift. Its new polymer frame, the 22 ply, is the result of those efforts. Like its predecessor, the 22 ply and the 25 ACP 25 ply is the blowback operated double action only design with a tip up barrel that allows users to change chamber around without operating the slide. That's great too for women, especially. Dropping a cartridge directly into the barrel is easier and safer than racking the slide, which makes the 22 ply ideal for smaller statured shooters. That tip up design is perhaps the number one reason the design has been so successful for so long, and I would have to concur with that. The palm-sized 22 ply is roughly the same size as the original, but its lines have been updated to give it a sleeker, more modern look. The front strap has 3 finger grooves, and the grip is contoured for a trimmer, more ergonomic feel. An integral beaver tail allows a higher grip and prevents slide hammer bite. The recontoured rounded trigger guard looks slick and is more snag-resistant than its predecessor's hooked guard. Another benefit of the polymer frame is a gun that comes in at a feathery 10.8 ounces. The polymer pistol's double-action-only trigger breaks at a smooth-as-glass 9 pounds, 15 ounces. The pull is great, but I wish the Taurus would have shortened the trigger reach a bit when it revamped the pistol. And I want to make a comment on that. It's kind of hard to do that on a double-action trigger. You need a certain amount of distance to do it. But, you know, the way these guys and engineer it, you would think they could do something. I have small hands, this is the author speaking, and it's difficult for me to maintain a good firing grip and work the trigger. So, of course, there's pros and cons depending on the shape of your hand. That's why there's so many different guns out there for your selection, ladies and gentlemen. Other controls include a conventional push-button magazine release just after the trigger guard, the barrel release, which is located above the magazine release, and a frame-mounted thumb safety on the left side. Additionally, safety devices include a key-activated Taurus security system in the back strap and the magazine disconnect that prevents the pistol from firing without a magazine, which some people like. The mag holds 8 rounds and has a polymer extension that serves as a pinky perch. Further adding to the 22 ply's more modern appearance is the cool reverse fish scale treatment at the back of the slide in place of the conventional grasping grooves. The notched rear sight is milled as part of the steel slide, and the front sight is an integral part of the pistol's stubby 2.33-inch barrel. Working a double-action-only pistol is simple for even the least experienced among us, but the tip-up barrel makes it even easier. I have never owned a gun with a tip-up barrel, but after a couple of plinking sessions with it at the ranch, I became a believer. My wife is pretty tiny, and she usually has trouble charging even compact autos, but she had no trouble at all with a 22-ply. On the range, the tiny Taurus continued to impress, running without issue for more than 200 rounds and shooting pretty much to point of aim at 7 to 10 yards with 40 grain loads from Federal, CCI, and Winchester. On the subject of ammunition, Taurus recommends 40 grained bullets at muzzle velocities of 1,280 feet per second for the 22 ply. Blah, 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 blah. Because of its compact size and crude sights, I didn't go do any formal accuracy testing with the 22 ply. However, I had no trouble punching fist-sized groups with it out to 10 yards. Groups opened up a bit about 15 yards and more still at 25. That's expected. But I could keep most of my shots in a reduced size of the target at 25 yards away. So what more could you ask from a mouse gun that fits in the palm of your hand? Not much, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pretty neat little gun. The price is right. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Check out the picture and the price there. Call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417. Talk to Arch, Mike, Dennis, Clint. They'll square you away. Tell them you heard it off the radio here at Aaron's Gun Shop, High Cap Adventures. And tell them you appreciate them supporting the show because without them and others, the show would not be on the air. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, call ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. And Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have our roundtable discussion about national anthem kneeling, flag burning, and what's the other thing? Surplus. Arms. Government arms surplus going out to law enforcement agencies across the country. So Trey, let's take a break. We'll be back on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's September 30th, 2017, and we've got about 39 minutes left on the show, and 29 of those minutes we're going to be roundtable talking it about flag burning, anthem kneeling, and government surplus going to law enforcement. And I've got with me Trey Wallace, retired police chief Randy Dixon, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, and retired Green Beret Mark Bohr, and myself. And we're going to be talking about this thing, and it's an open forum. The number is 254-697-6633. Now's your opportunity. If you got a bee or a gripe or a complaint, this is an opportunity for you to express it to the world. So give us a call.
I feel kind of bad, Matt. We're the only two that don't have any kind of distinguishing feature. Yourself and Trey Wallace, and then we got retired police chief, attorney extraordinaire,
you're a board operator. Without you, this doesn't exist. Me, I'm just a schmuck speaking what I'm thinking. So, you know, I'm the one left out of the loop.
But you're from New York, so that's okay.
Shh, quiet, man. Quiet. They're going to start circling my house before you know it. Go, come on, bring it on. I'm ready.
Mark, why don't you set this off? What's on your mind, Mark?
Well, first off, I got to tell you, Matt, I love Stonies because they keep me happy. And also, I love football. I love football, folks. I love football. But I love this kind of football. Arsenal. Go Arsenal.
Woohoo, yeah.
Over in Europe and the rest of the world, Africa especially, they play soccer, which is the original football. They don't use pads, and they don't have to be 300-pound chuckleheads. But, by God, we're talking about the National Football League today. And there's nothing national about them. It's all about corporate money. And these chuckleheads are out there setting the example. And now you know what, people? You know what? We've got high school kids thinking that it's in fashion now to take the knee. And they don't even know what the heck they're even talking about. So thank you, National Football League, for setting a bad example for the rest of the world. If you want to protest, by God, there's so many other ways of doing it. But you're not representing the national anthem. You're not representing the nation. And I think you're a corporate football league, and I'm going to boycott you and anything to do with you. However, on a gentler side, there are some really great NFL players out there who do set an example, like the great man who raised over $5 million for the hurricane relief people. And the people, the Miami teams that are working for the Puerto Rican and the hurricane situation down in Florida. But the league in general, a bunch of mindless morons. They're like sheep. They're following the flock. And by God, I don't like it. I don't like at all when they're influencing young people of America. Choice? They've got the choice. They've got the right. Chief, by God, you've been representing people's laws and people's rights for a long time. Russ, it's Russ, right?
I've been called a lot worse.
Okay.
A lot worse.
Yeah. Oh my God, it fires me up, man. That's why I love Stoney so much.
Well, like I said in my intro to my section a while ago, I don't have a problem with people expressing their ideas about the protest. But you are right. What's going down now is when you see high schools, when you see junior high kids taking the knee, man, it's like a domino effect. And I just don't think that was intended. And I hope that wasn't what was intended. And, you know, I think Ross, in one of his sections, he talked about earlier, the only thing that's going to change the attitude, the prevailing attitude, and is going to make them stand for our national anthem is when Budweiser, when National Car Rental, when all these different companies start pulling their advertisements. And I understand some of them already have. I once again, I don't have a problem with someone protesting, but let's protest something besides our national flag. Right. You know, if they want to protest something the police did, there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And one thing that really irritates me, and I don't mind telling you, what really irritates me is here 8-9 months ago, there was 6 Dallas police officers that were killed by a terrorist. And it was a terrorist, homegrown terrorist. The NFL would not let the Dallas Cowboys put a sticker on their helmet in memory of those officers.
Sounds like a bunch of communist twinkle toes to me.
It wouldn't let them put a sticker on there. So they said that they don't advertise. They don't get involved in political. But it's okay to let somebody take a knee as political? I just don't understand. Tim Tebow. And, you know, Tim Tebow, he couldn't kneel to say a prayer before the game. They forbid him for doing that.
Double standards,
man. It's a double standards. And that's what I don't like.
That's what I was getting at when I was saying there's certain elements, certain places that should be avoided. Your political or whatever should be outside that arena, because this is like they take God out of school because it's a closed event and they don't want to have any influencing going on. Then get it out of that arena as well, because you've got the capture, or you got the a major audience viewing your opinions. Now, another comment you made was, I told my sons this. I said, until you're 18, I own you. You're going to do my doctrine. You're going to learn my doctrine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and raise you the best I can so that when you're 18, you go out there and you can make some decent decisions. So my thought process is for the grade school and high school, until you're 18 and a man, okay, you're going to listen to what I'm telling you and I'm going to dictate. That's just the way it goes there. Right. So you're going to stand. You're going to put your hand on your heart. You're going to do all this kind of stuff. And I don't want to hear your crap. Once you're 18, you can do whatever the hell you want. As long as
you know, I think you really hit on it earlier in your beginning of your statement there, Mark. The people that are doing it, it's fashionable. You know, you're passionate about something. You're on fire. Even if I disagree with it, I'm on board, dude. I like it when people are passionate about something, when they want to stand up and they feel it and you can tell they feel it. But when they're doing it because everybody else is doing it, what kind of crap is that?
It's mindless. It's like a bunch of sheep.
I mean, seriously, why are you wasting my time?
They have no independence. They've got no personal, they've got no independent thought. They're sheep being followed by the people who are in the know and just want to manipulate. And these drones just follow, lockstep, the whole works.
And I know you want to get in here, but I got to interject something real fast.
Oh, I'm not. You go ahead.
The Legends Football League. Everybody check that out. Legends Football League.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. These are some classy ladies who are in a professional football league, and they got on national TV and said, we will not take a knee because the flag is sacred. And I love that.
They won't take a knee?
They won't take a knee.
That's good.
Yes. Check them out on YouTube, people. Legends,
you can't see it,
league.
But I'm shaking my head, folks.
Yeah. All right, hop in here, man.
I mean, I don't disagree with anything that's said. I mean, I think my opinion is that what Reagan said is correct, that we don't have people at the dinner table anymore, and the nucleus of a family has broken down, and that has led to so many other things that have broken down in society. I mean, it's a lot deeper than simply taking a knee. I think that my job as a lawyer is to play devil's advocate and see the other side of the picture. I think that you would have some people say that we're 5 white males here and we have no one representing the black caucus, the black consensus, and its side of the viewpoint. But I also agree that a lot of what's going on is just simply fashionable. I think that a lot of these high school kids don't understand exactly what it is that Kaepernick and maybe some of the NFL players don't know either. But I know that their standpoint would be, how do we know
what they faced and the systemic biases that I talk about a lot that go into play that make them fed up. And from their standpoint, they're making a statement that is on national television where everybody can see it because they want that statement and want that message to get out there. Again, we talk about the manner and the method and the way that it's done, right? Maybe we don't agree with that method, but I cannot deny that they have indeed gotten at least some message out, and I think they've gotten a little bit of the message they wanted to convey, maybe more on the end of being disrespectful towards things that ought to be respected. But I think at least some of what they tried to have gotten out there has gotten out there. So at least, you know, you got to give them that.
Well, the fact is, regardless of how they went about it, they've gotten their subject out there in the national consciousness. And it's being discussed. Perfect case in point. We're discussing it. We're discussing the disrespect we see in some of it. We're discussing the First Amendment aspects of it. But it is being discussed. So it's out there. It's not being ignored.
And that's my only complaint, is the disrespect. The cause, sure, I'm all for it. I understand why he kneeled. Whereas you ask 5 out of 10 people, they go, I don't know. So you're going to just follow somebody and you don't know? At least understand what you're doing and at least have a little bit of respect for those who give you that right to do so.
Yeah, but some of the problems too. You know, you've got a lot of restrictions on, local restrictions, trying to organize a parade, something like that, a march. Hard to do, right? A lot of times you've got, how are they going to get airtime? Otherwise, you said they could buy it. Okay, this is a consistent routine thing that they could do, right, that's available to everybody that's watched a national. I mean, even if they did those advertisements, who's going to watch it? Everybody's going to be watching the game when it's on. And so I think they're trying to get this message out here. I don't disagree with anything that's been said, right? But I do think that, you know, there are some problems in society that probably could be fixed. And I think that we all really just need to get along. Really.
Let me say something here. When Kaepernick did that, 2016? Okay, he does it a few times. He does it on his own accord because he just doesn't want to do it. You know, he wasn't making a major issue out of this other than it was for himself. And I understand that. Okay, but then it's brought to his attention, hey, you might want to think about this. It's really disrespectful for the flag. And then all of a sudden now everybody's got a year to think about what's going on and understanding the situation. And he was on camera and he did have the platform to promote his cause outside of the arena of the NFL. He could have done it. People would have listened. But what they do, they continue to do it in the realm of NFL in a public environment there where everybody's captured by what they want to put on the TV. They could have taken it to a different venue.
And I want to say this too. I do want to say this. A lot of problems I get, you don't understand, there probably is a problem, systemic bias, because I have many black clients, African-American clients that are court-appointed cases, a whole lot more than I do Caucasian clients. So there's definitely some sort of problem going on. But the thing about it is, a lot of African-Americans that I talk to, right, want the first card they want to play a lot of times is that it's a race situation, that the police officer came after them because they're black. Folks, it's not a race issue a lot of times. Right? We have a ton of laws on the books. There are a ton of regulations. It is easy for anybody to get in trouble, right? And this happens across all races. I have just as many unjust cases go against white folks as I do black folks, Mexicans, whatever. A lot of people are charged with stupid crimes. I come in here and talk to you about it all the time, and I'm even working on two that I said, this is so dumb. I don't understand why the state is being so difficult. And so a lot of times, it's not just racially motivated. A lot of times, it is the way that our system has grown. Judges are politically bound. Prosecutors are politically bound. A lot of times, the police have victims in their ear wanting them to do stuff. Then the prosecutors want them to go forward. I mean, you've got all kinds of things that come into play, and it's not just. And again, there are a ton of officers that are good people, so I'm not saying that the whole system is crooked. What I'm trying to tell you is there are many prejudices, there are many biases, there are many things that come into play that are not racially motivated, and a lot of the problems that are going on with society, violence between citizen and cop, is not just about black and white. No. A lot of white folks get shot, too, that are innocent. I mean, that happens across all spectrums. And police officers, a lot of times, are maybe shouldn't be police officers. Maybe they're hot-headed. Or sometimes they get into circumstances that they don't know how to handle properly. And something just goes wrong. And maybe they just felt like this person was violent or they had a bad day.
Well, let me follow up with that. I know, Chief, you want to get in on this, but let me follow up with that. It may not be about race, but it's about privilege. It's about privilege. And let me tell you about privilege. Colin Kaepernick, quarterback for San Francisco. Go figure, right? Okay. July of 2011, he signed a four-year contract for $5.2 million. That sounds kind of privileged to me. June 2014, he signed a six-year contract for $114 million. That's a little bit more privileged than you and me. And that's $119 million divided by 10 years, which means he gets an annual salary of $11.9 per year. $1 million. That sounds pretty privileged to me, but no, wait, there's more. Matthew Stafford, Detroit Lions, $27 million. The average ticket, let's stop right there. I could ramble on and on about that. But all these NFL jocks, they're privileged. So they get out there, and they get to set the example of how to be stupid. All right? Oh, they've got freedom of speech. Yeah, so do I. I could talk a lot about some crazy stuff going on in this world. A lot of people don't want to hear about it. But they've got the right, so we've got to respect that right. And you know what else? And you do a lot of arguing. But I heard on, I think it was Channel 25, they did an editorial, and they mentioned that some people have forgotten the art of disagreement. Being able to listen both ways, because if you're talking, then if we're both talking, I can't be listening.
Right.
So we have to listen to each other and respect each other's point of view. I get that. I get a little fired up sometimes, and I respect you for being able to do that.
Is there your view and their view, and then the view in the middle, which is respectable by both sides? There should be. That one thing in the middle I'm talking about is the flag and what it represents, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, documents that are, in my opinion, from that the one up above, okay? We couldn't have had it without great men doing it, great people doing it, and all that kind of stuff. That's the middle line, and that allows us to have your opinion, allows him to have his opinion, allows me to have my opinion. But we got to agree and learn that our opinion, our freedom of opinion, comes from a source, and that's that protected, blessed thing we've got, Constitution, flag, the whole world.
And that is bigger than all of it. So those things are the peak, the top of that triangle.
Well, yeah. There's somebody right above that, and we all know who that is, but I'm not going to get...
Gandhi. I want to throw this in as well. You know, I've got 44 years in law enforcement. I never stopped a car based on the color of the driver. I never stopped a person on the color of the person. You know, everything I ever did in my career, and I'm not saying everybody's like that, but everything I did in my career was based on the facts that were presented to me at the time to try to either solve a crime or someone who was violating the law. You know, and I'm sure there are probably officers out there that are bad. There's probably doctors that are bad, lawyers that are bad. There's airline pilots that are bad. Everybody has to deal with that, but it's such a small population. Now, let's go back to what they're protesting for. They're protesting for inequality. Let me ask you this, and I'm just throwing this out there. What would y'all think? Let's say this Sunday, when the national anthem plays, every single soldier, every single police officer, state trooper, firefighter got down on one knee while the national anthem was playing. What do you think would happen? What do you think the cry from the public would be for that?
First thing, Chief, would be, a true soldier, a true fireman, police officer
wouldn't do it. That's right.
That's all I'll say.
Hypothetically, let's say they did. What do you think the public would do then? There would be such an outcry. Fire them. Get rid of them. And some of them would get fired for doing that.
Yep.
Because they don't have a Budweiser contract.
But they're off duty, Chief. They're off duty.
Yeah, but that brings in the conversation I have with Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson as to whether or not their freedom of speech can be stamped on if they're employed and the employer doesn't want that to happen. So, I mean, this is really a mess.
Yeah, it gets to be a mess. So, I mean,
that's where respect and dignity comes in. It overrules employment rules and all that kind of stuff.
I know if I was still chief of police and one of my officers in uniform got down on one knee during the national anthem, I'd be sued probably, but I'd fire him. I'd be sued, but I'd fire him, because when you put that badge on, when you put that uniform on, and you took an oath to protect the Constitution, the laws of this country, but when you placed your hand on that Bible and that badge,
thank you for bringing that.
You know, that oath says that you're going to do certain things that are above and beyond. One of the things above and beyond is you show respect to our country.
Well, I mean, can you really, honestly protect something that you don't respect?
No, you don't respect it if you don't.
Then don't swear to the oath. Don't
exactly.
swear to the oath.
That's exactly.
Right. That's precisely right. And like I said, I don't disagree with anything of what Ross said. Anything, and I know there's always a pervasive attitude that police officers and lawyers can't get along. That's not right. That's absolutely not right.
Now, look, I said this many times. I swore an oath when I went in the military, and I'm not wearing a uniform anymore, and I stick to it. However, I'm a human being like you all are, too, and we are. We make mistakes. If our friend or our brother corrects us, hopefully we'll make the change because we're influenced by that. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm just saying, you know, stick to what you believe and do the best you can, and if you make a mistake, correct the mistake.
You know, I think ultimately it boils down to they have the right to express themselves that way, just like I have the right to say you're an idiot if you do it.
Well, that's name calling. That's bad. Grow up.
No, I'll grow out. Seriously, though. I mean, they have the right to the freedom, and people died for that right. And yeah, it's disrespectful. But honestly, people that are like that, do you care what they think?
Well, Trey, you're doing a really great thing. You're shaping a lot of young kids with you being a coach. And you want to set a really good example for them. And if you see something, if there's a question mark in their head, you're going to take the time to explain things to them clearly.
That's right. And I can only be responsible for my actions and the actions that I impart to my kids and the kids that I teach.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be responsible for how NFL players act. But when the kids that I teach and my own children have questions or I see them mimicking that, I can address that, ask them, why are you doing that? Well, I saw so-and-so doing it. Well, just because you saw so-and-so jump off a bridge, you want to jump off a bridge? Well, yeah, I like to swim. Really?
Should a teacher teach the topic, or should the teacher teach the topic with his personal opinions and personal doctrine on how things should be?
Unfortunately,
the parent.
Unfortunately, it's really difficult to just teach the topic because everything we do is colored by our own personal filters.
Yeah, I get that, but it should be minimized, I would think. Of course that's going to come out, I get it, but you're not going to want to teach your, you know, let's just say you've got a certain persuasion and you think it's great and you're going to try to influence other people with that persuasion. That's not your place or time to do it, so you have to.
But it is human nature to do that.
It is human nature, but what I'm saying is the people in positions like that have a bigger responsibility than just somebody on the street.
Absolutely, but unfortunately, we all are human.
All right, we're going to put on the brakes. We're screeching to a halt, and we're going to the topic of government surplus going to law enforcement departments. And here's my quick comment on it, and I'll let the rest of the people say what they want to say. I've got absolutely no problem with it at all, except this one thing. There is a wall between law enforcement and the people of the regular citizenry. And at times, the people of the public get a little fearful of how aggressive law enforcement is becoming or looking, and they have concerns. And my statement is, law enforcement, have at all that equipment, because the way we live in is necessary, but please use it with discretion.
Montgomery County bought a tank.
Tank.
And they drive it around, and it irritates everybody.
Yep.
It makes some people scared, and it's quite frankly, it's ridiculous.
The thing is, if it were the military that had it, people expect that of soldiers, because soldiers, they understand, or even if they don't understand it explicitly, there's that whole implication that they're trained to do that. And am I right that you undergo training on how to interact with citizens, non-soldier citizens?
I'm not a cop. I don't know.
No, as a soldier.
Oh, yes.
Okay? You have training on how to interact with citizens. There's a wall between citizens and soldiers. But citizens don't see soldiers with the same kind of fearful lens that we're starting to see police with.
I agree. Totally agree.
And a lot of that is training.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of soldiers that I represent that cannot stand police. No. I mean...
Let me...
I mean, there's a difference.
And I'm not police bashing, and nor is anybody. We're just
I'm just telling you that I've had soldiers. I'm not saying that all soldiers ain't. Telling you.
I talk to law enforcement. They go, no, there's not a wall. And I go, well, you're not living in reality, pal, because there is a wall, because I'm part of that.
There has to be a wall, because if you're going to be a guardian, if you're going to be a guardian, you have to be able to remove yourself from that, because especially when you're intervening in two citizens that are at odds.
I got no issue with what you just said, but they can do it in a manner understandable.
And a lot of them, in my experience, a lot of them have. A lot of them do. My uncle was the sheriff here in Monmouth County for many, many years. Before that, he was chief deputy for many years. And I have never heard anybody complain about him.
Let me kind of weigh in on this. I mean, I came from a department where we used the military surplus program. So I got a little bit of authority on this. You can go overboard or you can go normal with this surplus program. It's called the 1033 program is what it's called. Our police department, the city of Cameron's new police department that was built with about $150,000 to $200,000 worth of goods that were surplus for the military. And you know where those goods were destined for? They were destined for garbage. When they went to pick these items up, so it's not just an issue on military surplus. They went to pick these items up. And most of the items came from Texarkana at the Army Depot there. They had tons and tons of dumpsters that were filled with Army boots, brand new, still with the tags on them, that they're going to destroy. Our government has made this an issue, not only the police department. Police departments can get any kind of equipment. We had our automatic rifles. You cannot fight a war in a street war with a shotgun anymore. You've got to have an automatic rifle in your car to protect yourself and protect your citizens. A city the size of Cameron can't afford that. So what they do, we got M16s, there's a government, they're tracked, you have to keep up with them, you have to qualify with them. Every year you got to report it. We had a chance to get an MRAP, if anybody knows what an MRAP is. I wouldn't allow that to happen here. Can you see the citizens of Cameron looking up and seeing a 5.5 or 6 ton armored military truck driving down with police officers in it that sits 8 foot off the...
No, I can kind of imagine some of them taking it mudding, though.
Now, what I would like to have got us to have was there's a smaller version, I don't even know what it's called, that's the same size as almost every city's SWAT vehicle. It's a smaller vehicle, and there's times when we did need that.
Is that the one, like, Temple's got?
Yes.
I was going to make a comment of that. For the size of Temple, that's appropriate.
Yes.
Or maybe even one of those...
They could have an MRAP in Temple. Because it would, and Waco has an MRAP, Killeen's got an MRAP. The bigger cities, yes.
I mean, bigger numbers, bigger odds.
Right.
So, I would say Killeen probably is justified.
They need two of them. Yeah,
the thing is, I think repurposing like this is great. We need to, because it shows we're using our resources more efficiently and more effectively. But they should come with training.
Yes.
I mean, you don't let a 16-year-old jump behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler. You have to go through training. You don't let anybody jump behind a wheel of a big vehicle like that. You don't let a 16-year-old jump behind the wheel of a car without training. So why are you going to let an adult jump behind the wheel of an MRAP?
MRAP's the big one, yeah.
Why are you going to do that without taking them and say, hey, this is how you use this, and this is how you don't use this?
I got to jump in here. You guys are touching on two things, MRAPs and also the training portion. Over in Iraq, the U.S. taxpayers, everybody listening to this right now who pays taxes has paid for billions of dollars of equipment that's over in the Middle East, Africa, and Europe just rotting away in the sun. Also over in Korea and... No, not Korea.
Not anymore. They got that stuff working.
But I'm telling you what, I saw... If you go to the Temple Mall and you see that parking lot, imagine Hilux, Toyota trucks, MRAPs, Humvees... just sitting out there rotting because we gave that over to those governments. They don't have the proper training. They don't have the proper maintenance plan or anything. So those vehicles, they run them until they die, and then they just drop them or strip them because of poor security measures. We've even lost a lot of this equipment to the enemies that we are supporting because of lack of security, lack of training. This is billions of dollars worth of equipment, and I've seen it firsthand. I sent pictures to you. Over in Kabul. Now, also, we're We're talking about a lot of stuff like body armor. We're talking MRAPs, Humvees. They're fantastic. But you were right, Trey, about the training. We got to have the proper training. The MRAP, I hate the MRAP personally. I've lost a lot of guys because they're so top heavy when they roll, especially in a water environment. I lost a whole B team, Special Forces B team, because they were locked and trapped inside. However, it does have thermal. So if you're engaging a terrorist threat or something downtown Killeen, at nighttime you throw that thermal switch on and the IR illuminator, you could see forever, baby. It's beautiful. However, that's like an aggressive platform we're talking about, aggressive equipment. What about the great stuff, the communications, the cyber equipment, the computers? There's a lot of surplus there that our small towns need that equipment.
We here in Cameron, we got 20 laptop computers from the government. Hard drives were removed, but we were responsible for getting the hard drives put in. And 20 sounds a lot, but what you do is you get 10 good ones, and you have 10 for parts. And those are tracked. We have to report those every year. If you get rid of one, you have to let the government know that you're getting rid of it. And you have to do that for like 2 year time period.
Over in Bagram, there was a burn pit. It wasn't Bagram, it was in Iraq. As we were pulling out, they were taking computers and just throwing them in the burn pits. It's ridiculous, and it's the taxpayers' dollars. So why don't we bring that back to the community where it costs what, about $1 million to try a murder case?
No, I wish.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying some of these small towns can't afford that kind of stuff. So we need to pull in as much resources as we can.
When you drive by that police station on 4th Street here in Cameron, You see that fence that goes all the way around it? That fence was government surplus. That those tent-looking things that are sitting up and you can see from the road, those were government surplus.
I remember, Chief, you were the major hand that made that stuff work. You talked it all up. You did what the agreements were. And I remember we did an interview on it. You were awesome doing that job.
And it was a city the size of Cameron, we could not have built that building between grants that I applied for and that surplus. That building would have cost $150,000, $200,000 more than what it did.
Some of the communications equipment that you were talking about, though, would not be legal, right, for them to use on a local basis, whereas they could use it on a foreign scale.
About radios, all right?
Radios, handheld.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the government under the surplus program will not give eavesdropping or ear improvement.
Right. And it'd be illegal. Right. It'd be illegal for police to do that.
Right. Yes. There is a radio system called the Embitter. It's a handheld, hand carry type radio, and you can download all kinds of security software into it. However, we're giving those out to third world countries. Those things need to come here to law enforcement, where it's reliable instead of a little handheld Motorola that chokes out all the time.
Right. We got about.
And I know that, and this was 20 years ago, and this is not a new thing either. 20 years ago, Temple started their helicopter program when I was still at Temple. And the first helicopter was a government surplus helicopter, Hughes 500.
Talking about helicopters, what about medevacs and medical equipment? The military has so much outdated medical equipment for their purposes, but we could bring it here.
And you can get that.
Yeah.
The thing is, on that 1033 program, you have to have, and I had an officer that I appointed to do that, and sometimes we get a little regressive in what you get, but he brought back medical equipment, he brought back tools that were in the dumpster. They'd thrown Snap-on tool chest in the dumpster.
Well, I would rather have the U.S. law enforcement have that equipment more than some Iraqi or Afghan or some Central African Republic moron.
Right. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is we're going to take about a one-minute break. We're going to regroup here and then get our collective thoughts, finish up. And then after that, we're going to have Master Key talking martial arts to finish up pretty much the hour. So we'll be back in about a minute. We'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, September 30th, 2017, and we're going to do a last, like, one-minute comment as to what we've been just talking about. Guys, did you want to make any comments before we come up, Master Key?
Only thing I want to say is that when you see people protesting, think about common sense. Would you want your kid doing that?
Good point. My point is about the military surplus coming to law enforcement. U.S. taxpayers paid for it. By God, we ought to have it here in the U.S.
I'm all about, if you're going to protest something, understand what you're protesting. Don't just copy people. Understand what you're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that, Trey. And I want to make a comment about how I support the First Amendment. Go ahead, make your beefs known. I just ask and implore that you do it in a proper manner and respect that which you're kneeling towards. That's all I'm saying.
Seriously, dude. Seriously.
Okay. We're going to take... commercial in?
No, we're going to go right in.
All right, we're going to go right into Master Key doing martial arts.
Hi, Cindy Key, Master Cindy Key here, and today's subject is going to be dealing with a bully, which means I need to review again, you know, be aware of your surroundings, be aware of your mindset and the mindset of the other person. Are they messing with you or really intending to hurt you? And the condition of yourself, whether you are in really good shape or they are, and what your limitations may be as far as your size, if you have any injuries or if you can run fast, that's always a good thing. So let's get right into the four things that I think are important about dealing with a bully. The first thing is, if you know you have a problem with somebody or they are approaching you and they seem like they are in a bullying attitude, which is the mindset again, you know, first thing is try to avoid them, you know, walk in another direction, go find someplace else to be. You know, if you know they're going to be in a certain spot and or in a area and you don't have to be there, then don't be there. If they start approaching you, they will usually start, well, most of the time they'll, you know, try to bully you with talk and make you feel bad about yourself. Which a bully usually feels bad about their self, or they're threatened by, you know, something maybe that you do good. And so that's why they're trying to bully you and make you feel bad or make you feel less of yourself. Try to talk your way out of it. You know, I mean, I don't want any trouble. You know, let's just walk away and be friends or not be friends. Don't, you know, start saying negative things back to them, because that's just going to fuel the situation. That's like pouring gasoline on a fire. So just, you know, try to be nice about it and walk away. If you can't, tell them to stop. And then if they don't, then you need to take evasive action, which means the sidestep that I talked about when on the first show about being aware of your surroundings and you know, line yourself up, not directly in the middle of them, kind of try to track yourself to one side or the other of them, so that if you need to take a sidestep, you're already going to be partly out of the way, so you'll be faster moving out of the way. But just kind of, you know, leave the area, leave, you know, where they are, and try to go to someplace safe. You know, find a door opening, find just another place that's safe. if all else fails and, you know, they just will not leave you alone, then, you know, then you're going to come to the point, you know, are they still talking or are they throwing punches or trying to grab you or what they're doing? And then from there, you'll just have to decide whether or not you need to defend yourself. And that's next week's topic. So remember, be aware of your surroundings, you know, keep a strong mind, be aware of your limitations as to what you can do, be aware of their strength and size, avoid the situation if you can, talk your way out, evade, make evasive action if you can, run away, karate self-defense technique number one, get out of the way of trouble. If you can. And then the last fourth thing will be to defend. And that is next week's topic. So have a great day and a blessed week. And until next time, this is Cindy Key at Central Texas Martial Arts. If you want to contact me, the number is 254-721-2775. You can call or text for information. And my house has an answer machine at 512-446-7269. So stay safe and stay blessed.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rocktail at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail, 254-721-2775. 7-5.